Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? What's happening? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I'd like to talk about what a shark might think when he sees us. Whenever I'm out there and look sharks in the eyes, there's just something going on. It's like a shark wants to talk to me, wants to communicate, but definitely what I always see is there is some thinking. A thinking of what could this object be? Why is it here? Something is going on. And, you know, the interesting thing, whenever a shark approaches, it never just swims towards us, but starts to swim up and down, stays at the periphery, does some preliminary approach patterns, and so on. It's like it's weighing in. Shall I really approach? Shall I go closer? Now it sees me. What shall I do? But again, important here is it never moves in straight away directly into us. Granted, many times I hear that when divers first saw the shark, it was already right on top of them. Well, although that is true, that does not mean that the shark approached right away. He saw the diver and moved right in. No, what it tells me is that the shark was there prior to it, but has not been noticed yet, because the animal did not want to be seen in the first place. So our blind spot comes into play here, and that, of course, means that a shark has a way to understand if we can see him or not. We talked about eye contact in the past, but we also talked about the fact that sharks can determine if their presence is noted or not from a rather big distance, even up to the visual range. How they do that, I don't really know. We're currently doing some more experiments, and I hope by end of this year I will have a better answer. Of course, I'm always curious what a shark thinks all the way in, why it happens, what happens, what factors determine the patterns, and on and on. So I'm always looking for thinking patterns or ideas, how to get a better idea what a shark may go through mentally. So there is a neat thinking process that has been created by Professor Mark Beckoff, a professor, former professor from the University of Colorado up in Boulder, and he calls it deep ethology. Deep ethology basically means to see the situations through the animal's eyes with its mental capacity. So what I always try when I have some clients during a dive or so, or in upcoming dives, say, guys, okay, now focus on one shark, look where it swims, remember cognitive mapping, and try to see what the shark sees through its eyes. So that's always very, very interesting to see when people come up, then they say, oh, you know what I noticed for the first time? Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So anyway, we have to assume, or can assume, that a shark goes through a type of thinking process close to us where it evaluates its emotions triggered by all the factors it gets from getting closer. Of course, it's hard to say what goes on, and everything pretty much remains speculation since we can never see the thoughts an animal has. However, we can use the way a shark approaches us as a broad link to its emotions. For example, a shark that would move straight in, a frontal approach, will have more a more eager personality than a shark who stays at periphery, swims up and down, who is very cautious or hesitant. Don't get me wrong, I'm fully aware that plenty of scientists would reject everything I say, but as much as they can't say I'm wrong, I can't say they're right. At this point, of course, I like to make sure that we do not talk about anthropomorphism, where we use human emotions to describe a shark's behavior, like a shark is pissed or is vicious or it's vindictive, whatever. I do not include these type of terms. I agree. And here I agree that we distance ourselves from such descriptions. But I have to admit that I sometimes use similar comparisons to give a shark a bit more personality when talking about it. And I do then, of course, highlight to be careful with that. But it's always good when people can associate themselves a bit with a shark before they jump in or when they're already in the water with an animal. Something similar happens when we start giving large sharks like tigers, bulls, or even white sharks human names. All of a sudden, a nameless shark is part of us and our dive family. This approach helps quite a bit to calm down, scare people that dive for the first time with large sharks, and it makes a difference. It really makes a difference if you say, that are large tiger sharks down there when you jump in, so be careful. Or you say, hey guys, guess what? You're lucky. It's your lucky day. Emma is here. So I think you see what I mean. And it doesn't really matter anyway. If you stretch your motions a bit to make these sharks mentally more approachable, since we want to learn from sharks, and the less emotional we are, the more afraid we are, the easier it is to understand what truly goes on between them and us. But if you're right or you're scientifically, then most of the above is a big no-no. I understand that, but science does not always matter. Sometimes it's more important to get a point across by any means necessary. And when it comes to sharks, they have such a bad image, really anything goes, that can make their image a little brighter. Overall, there's just no position you can take that is likely more true when it comes to animal emotions. So I prefer to accept that a shark's world is not a world without emotions. That emotions must play a role is rather simple to prove. Just look how a shark approaches us when we offer food for them. Just look how a shark approaches us when you offer them some food. It hesitates. And hesitation is an emotion. Of course, again, one could argue that a shark values its options without any emotions, but how would that work? Making a decision makes a prediction about the immediate future. Or there is a scenario that no matter where you are, it always creates the same outcome with sharks. One shark finds or reacts to something, and all other sharks close by have to check it out as well. It's just like us. We get curious when one of us sees something or is drawn to us, and we go check it out as well. Just the other day, I was on a dive with some black tips. I don't mean the black tip reef sharks, but limbatos, which has lately been called the pelagic or oceanic black tip. I'm not so sure if this description of pelagic or oceanic is really a good idea. It seems to confuse people even more. And one thing, because there's a difference between pelagic or oceanic, but it's confusing. I just stick to black tip and black tip reef shark. So if I talk about the black tip, I do not mean the black tip reef. If I speak about the black tip reef, well, you get the picture. And there's a clear distinction. But then again, I'm from Switzerland, which all too often turns into Sweden. How can one confuse these two words with each other? I have no clue. Anyway, I was on this dive and we had about 10 black tips around us. Of course, if you know black tips, then you know they are as bold as can be. No hesitation, no threshold, just right in your face. And it's just great to hang out with them. So the dive master has a bit of food in a box, opens it and grabs some fish and lets it go. Of course, the sharks are all over the food and is gone in no time. So this is repeated a few times and every time the food is gone in no time. So at one point, the dive master happens to get close to the box again, but it was not his intention to get the sharks somewhere food. And literally, all of them are all over him looking at him, swimming up and down. And I swear it looked like they would say, "Hey, what are you waiting for? Let's give us the fish." And the funny thing was that none of them wanted to accept that no food was coming and swim bigger circles again. Nope. They all had the same thought and ran close to the dive master. So the dive master had to physically back off from the box that the sharks accepted it. So my point here is that the sharks were actually waiting for food and did not want to leave because maybe the other guy that did not leave would then be first in line. So there is this curiosity and this competition, this eagerness. So these are emotions, and I can't describe it any better. When you're in the water with sharks and you look at them and you offer them something and then you stop, you see a curiosity and eagerness, and really sharks look at you and say, "Hey, come on guy, come on, give it to me." So this brings me quickly to another topic about feeding, and I may repeat myself, but a shark who is conditioned to be fed at a certain site will never start biting people elsewhere just because it has not been fed at the site and is now frustrated. The word here is frustrated. I know quite a few people, even scientists, who believe in this theory that a shark then bites a person elsewhere out of frustration. These are the same people that deny sharks have emotions. So if frustration is not an emotion, I have no clue anymore. That's funny, right? Anyway, we could go on and on about emotions in sharks and not come to an agreement between the proponents and opponents of emotions in sharks. So you decide for yourself when you see sharks the next time or for the first time. Look at them, look in their eyes, check them out, and I guarantee you, you see something. You see questions, you see an interest, you see something that goes on in their minds and you can't help it. It will be emotional. Me, I made my decision a long time ago. It just makes more fun to believe that sharks have emotions as well. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.